Good morning, Franciscans.
Good morning.
My goodness, there are a lot of you this morning. Did everybody find a place to sit? Well, we're especially glad to welcome our visitors this morning, our guests, any of you who are returning from cold climates, and we're just glad to share worship with you this morning. Have you met our newest neighbors? Bishop Kirk Smith and his wife Laura, who live up the street now. Would you raise a hand, Bishop Smith? So, very nice to have you with us in your church, and so we hope you'll come and visit us just as often as you can. And Father Ted Holt is back with us. Isn't he resplendent? Ted's our preacher this morning. So in the gospel, Jesus is in Zebulun and Naphtali, which we know today as the Golan Heights. But where Ted will take us in the sermon, well, we have yet to see about that because he has a wonderful imagination. And we look, so don't nod off. That's the news. Stay awake.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This seems to be the time of year in which we hear a lot of the states of various things. The mayor of Tucson either has or will be talking about the state of the city. Governor has done the state of the state twice. He did it up in Phoenix, and then he came to Tucson just in case we hadn't learned what he had to say when he was in Phoenix, Maricopa-centric. The President of the United States, and fairly soon, is going to be giving us the State of the Union. And us as a parish get the state of the parish, as it were, through our annual meeting, which we had last Sunday. We heard about what's going well. I didn't hear much about what was going poorly because it's all going well. So embedded in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is proclaiming much more than just the state of the union or the state of the state or the state of the parish. He's proclaiming the state of the worlds, plural, the seen and unseen worlds, and the essential core of everything that matters about our citizenship and participation in them both. In a few words, in "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," he lays out the entire agenda, the full program for all of life, for all of time. The Greek word, which translates out into English as has come near, in the Greek it's egeken. And egeken is used in reference to proximity of both time and space. For Jesus to say that the kingdom has come near is to say that it is right here, right now, both in terms of it as it exists in time and as it exists in what we might call the intersection of material and spiritual space. The kingdom, says Jesus, is right here. It's right here in front of our faces. The kingdom of heaven is not some distant, perhaps theoretical idea. Rather, it is an immediate fact, an imminent reality. Now, how many of you believe that? That the kingdom is right here and now? Really, how many of you really believe? We have a few really believe that. That's good. Well, a sure sign that we've taken this message of the true state of things to heart is that we have, at least once, if not more often, and I've been more often, we have repented. Now, if you have to wonder if you ever repented in response to your awareness of the nearness of the kingdom, then the answer is you haven't. Because one of the hallmarks of repentance is that of making a conscious, specific choice to change our minds and the direction of our lives from where they were to a new place. As the author of Matthew is using metanoia, repentance, it is the conscious choice and change to no longer live as if we, or something of equally less quality, were the center of the universe, and to begin to live from a center which is our response to the good news of the fact that the kingdom has come near. In this regard, I think of repentance as being very much like what a friend of mine described regarding conversion. He likened conversion to what happens if we're rolling along up the interstate in happy oblivion and all of a sudden see a flashing light of a state trooper in car in our rear view mirror, and he's coming right for us. Whatever it was we were doing and thinking prior to that moment, we stop doing that and make big changes to accommodate the new reality that has just entered our life. Now, that's a conversion experience, and not terribly different from what repentance involves. Repentance is the only way to respond and act when we become aware of the proximity of the kingdom. It is the only way, because to know that the kingdom has come right there in front of us, to really know that, insists that we change, that we turn, that we begin to live out of the new center in a new direction, a direction newly informed by none the less than God. So there's nothing subtle about repentance. It's a big heart and soul shaking and turns our lives on end. Our gospel lesson this morning then takes us to the next inevitable aspect of repenting in the immediate presence of the kingdom, and that is discipleship. And so our story this morning goes from the proclamation of the coming near of the kingdom. The story goes on to tell of Jesus' calling of two sets of brothers, calling them to follow him. The theme of the immediacy of the presence of the kingdom carries over to the immediacy with which the brothers follow Jesus. Matthew writes, "Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." Repentance, having produced great change in our lives, making us more available to God and his purposes, repentance leads to discipleship as we begin to listen anew for just what it is that God requires of us. The specifics of what now needs to begin to be realized in our now repentant lives can sometimes, frankly, be very, very difficult to discern. But because the kingdom has now come near, it is not like we have any choice but to perk up our ears, make more keen our vision, pray increasingly with fervor, seek the wise counsel of others, and all that sort of thing, because we just have to find out where and how we are now to serve the Lord who has called us to new life in Him. We are compelled, we are driven, we must find out where and how to be of increasing use to God so that we may grow and grow in our knowledge and love of Him and of those to whom He would send us. So that's a little bit of what occurs to me regarding Jesus' state of the world's speech in today's gospel lesson, where He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near."
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You have heard the word. Now the work begins. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.